Blog Talk Radio.
Inspector, and I'll be your host tonight on Inside MLB. And tonight, with the All-Star break behind us and the trade deadline rapidly approaching, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks around the baseball landscape. This week's power rankings are about just one series' worth of games, as the All-Star festivities made it in a bridge week. So there was not as much shuffling as normal. When putting together this list, we can start with the following factors: last week's record, quality of opponent, key injuries and trade, recent performance beyond the last week. While those four areas remained, the deciding factors in where teams moved in the rankings. The focus of this week's team-by-team write-ups is what we can expect on the trade market between now and the July 31st deadline. The goal, as always, is to be as objective as possible, but in a certain amount of objectivity, we will always come to the point of something like this. Just remember, this is a fluid process. Teams will rise and fall on a weekly basis relative to where they ranked previously. Keep winning to keep climbing. It's as simple as that. All right, so let's get started with our number 30 team, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies. Right now, they're 32-62. Last week, they were off number 30, and last week, though, they were 3-0. A three-game sweep of the Miami Marlins to begin the second half should be enough for the Philadelphia Phillies front office to hold off any sort of trade deadline sell. And at this point, they could even look to add a few more veteran pieces to the mix. Could you imagine? Cole Hamilton not exactly wild scouts in attendance Sunday. 3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 5 runs, and that's now the second consecutive run at him. According to Buster Olney at ESPN, that's been enough for one of the most asked questions around baseball to be is. Is there something wrong with Hamilton? Aside from their race, speedy outfielder Benavir and closer Jonathan Papelbon look like the two most likely Phillies to be dealt at this point. Now let's get into our hit of the week, the Philadelphia Phillies. That's right fielder Jeff Francoeur, who went 3-for-3 with 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, and 3 runs. And our pitcher of the week, the Philadelphia Phillies, is Chad Billingsley. He got a win in 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, no one runs, a walk in 2 Ks. So now we're going to move into our number 29, and that's the Colorado Rockies. Right now they're 39-51. Last week they were number 27 in the rankings, but last week they were 0-2. If any team outside of the Philadelphia Phillies needs to take the trade down, an opportunity to shake things up in a big way, it's the Colorado Rockies. It probably wouldn't be wise to bet on Troy Tulowitzki being moved, but the team has other intriguing trade chips at its disposal. Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post lists out fielder Carlos Gonzalez and Charlie Blackman, first baseman Willem Rosario, and closer Don Axley as most likely players on the team to be moved. Cargo is the interesting name here. He's been hitting well late, but he's still owed $37 million over the next 2 years and has an injury history that will make teams at least think twice about taking on that kind of commitment. And the hitter of the Colorado Rockies is shortstop Troy Tulowitzki. He's 3-for-5, 1 home run, 1 RBI, and 1 run. The pitcher of the week, the Rockies' starting pitcher, Chad Bettis. He had a no decision, 1-for-6, 3 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. Now we're going to move into our number 28 team, and that is the Miami Marlins. Currently, they're 38-54. Previously, they were on 25 in the rankings. Last week, they went 0-3. A 3-8 rough patch includes a 3-game sweep in the hands of the Philadelphia Phillies. Throughout the second half, should all but cement the Miami Marlins as sellers between now and the deadline. They don't have a ton in the way of movable pieces, but stars Matt Latos, 14-game start, 3-6 with a 4.90 ERA, and Dan Herr, 19-game started, should both generate interest from teams looking to add an arm, but not mortgage a ton of high-end talent. Latos next takes the ball Tuesday against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and there figures to be plenty of scouts in attendance for that one. On a positive note, Jose Fernandez continues to look sharp as a return from Tommy John surgery. He's now 2-0 with a 2.37 ERA and 3 starts, and averaging a healthy 95.4 miles per hour for the fastball, according to Fangraphs. And the hitter of the week for the Marlins is right fielder Cole Gillespie. He was 5-for-12, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs, and 2 runs scored. And the pitcher of the week for the Marlins is starting pitcher Jose Fernandez. He had no decision, went 6 innings, allowing 4 hits and 2 runs, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. So now it's time to move into our number 27 game, and that's the Cincinnati Reds. Right now, they're 40-49. Previously, in our power rankings, they were the 26th and last week they went 1-2. With All-Star Game hosting honors now in the rearview mirror, the Cincinnati Reds finally appear ready to take center stage at the trade deadline, as perhaps the most interesting sell on the market, according to John Fay of the Cincinnati Enquirer. Owner Bob Castellini has officially given the go-ahead for a significant sell-off. Fay goes on, the only untouchable player on the roster, though young control with talent like Billy Hamilton, Michael Lawrence, and Anthony Desclafani, as well as higher-priced veterans like Joey Votto, Brian Phillips, and Homer Bailey, probably won't be going anywhere either. However, as the Reds move the likes of Johnny Cueto, Mike Leake, Walter Chapman, Jay Bruce, and Marlon Byrd, they could wind up with a substantial prospect haul to expedite the upcoming retool rebuild. And the head of the week for the Reds is first baseman Joey Votto. He went 7-for-12, 2 doubles, 1 home run, 2 RBIs, and 2 on score. The pitcher of the week for the Reds, the starting pitcher, Mike Leake. He got the win, went 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 home runs, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Now let's move into our number 2016. That's the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're currently 42-48. Previously in all time, they were number 23. Last week, they went 0-3. Props to the Arizona Diamondbacks are a better than expected first half, but they have now lost 6 straight after being swept by the San Francisco Giants. And they currently sit 9.5 games back in the NL West game. They have a young roster without much in the way of trade chips. Their reliever, Brad Zegar, 40 games, and 1.13 ERA would certainly be of interest if he were made available. A very reasonable $5.5 million option for next year could be reason enough for them to hold on to him, though. In other news, the team came to terms with number one overall pick, Dansby Swanson, ahead of the signing deadline with a $6.5 million bonus. He'll likely be on the fast track to the big leagues after an impressive career at Vanderbilt. The hit of the week for the Diamondbacks is left fielder David Peralta. He's on 5-for-11, 3 triples, 1 home run, 2 RBIs, and 3 runs scored. The pitcher of the week for the Diamondbacks is starting pitcher Patrick Corbin. He got the loss, but went 5 innings to allow 4 hits, 2 runs, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. Now let's move into our number 25 team. That is the San Diego Padres. Currently, Padres have a record of 43 wins and 49 losses. Last week in our rankings, they were number 28, so the Padres moving up a bit. And last week, they were 2-0, just enough to left Sunday's game for precautionary reasons after feeling tightness in their felt oblique. And the internet immediately went into hashtag hug watch. I should tell you everything you need to know about the current state of the San Diego Padres. The team expected to be a serious player in the National League after a busy offseason is now looking more and more like a potential seller. And nothing sits atop the list of potential career trips, with free agency awaiting in the offseason. Starter Ian Kennedy is also a free agent at season's end. Both closer Craig Kimbrell and center man Wolfram Benoit could both net a significant return in the seller's market for relief pitching. And the hitter with the Padres is right fielder, Matt Kemp, 3-for-7 with 2 doubles, 1 homer, 3 RBIs, and 1 score. The pitch of the week with the Padres is relief pitcher Craig Kimbrell. He was 2-of-2 in saves, 2 in pitch, no hits, allowed no earned runs, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. Very impressive. Let's move to the number 2014. That is the Chicago White Sox. Right now they stand at 42 wins, 48 losses. Previously they were the number 22 team. Last week they went 1-3. A 9-2 stretch near the end of the first half had it briefly looking like the Chicago White Sox could claw their way back into St. Louis in the AL Central, and that momentum appears to have run out. Justin March is their big trade chip, and there will be plenty of other teams in attendance when he takes the ball next against the St. Louis Cardinals on Wednesday. In other news, a team designated third baseman Connor Glassby for assignment Sunday, according to Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago. The team's opening day third baseman has been in nice line the past 2 seasons, when he had 265 average, 322 on base percentage, and 404 OPS, to 2.1 WOB. Those triple slash numbers were down to 237 average, 276 on base percentage, 364 OPS this season. So, and he had recently lost his drug to prospect Tyler Saladino. The hitter of the week is center fielder Adamine. He won 5-1 home run, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher John Day. He got the win with 6 innings, allowing 4 hits, no one runs, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. And now let's move in to our number 23 team, the Texas Rangers. And that is 53 wins and 48 losses. So they are currently 5-6. They obviously do have a lot of work to do if they want a chance to get back into a wild card contention and maybe even get 500. But so last week, the Rangers on our list of power rankings in Major League Baseball, they were number 24. Last week, they had a record of 1-2. It's been quite the tumble down these rankings for the Texas Rangers. knock on additional 7 and 8 in their last 25 games after looking like potential contenders a month ago. The team has been linked to a number of pitchers on the trade market, including Cole Hamels via Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and Mike Leake via John Heyman of CBS Sports. Cole Hamels will make sense as a long-term pickup, which helps next year and beyond. It's hard to see the Mariners having much use for a rental player like Leake. In fact, don't be surprised if they decide to flip their own free agent to be Giovanni Gallardo, 20-game start, did 7 and 8 with 2.91 ERA, acquired during the offseason, and enjoyed the best season of his career. Hit of the week is second baseman Rougned Odor, 6-for-14, 2 triples, 1 home run, 2 RBIs, and 2 runs scored. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Colby Lewis. He got the win in 7 and 3 innings, allowing 4 hits, 2 home runs, and a walk, 7 pickups. Now let's move into our number 22 team, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. Right now, they stand at 41-52. Last week, they were number 29 list with a significant jump after switching the pitcher prior, and now move up to this 7th spot to number 22. Last week, they were 3-0. A 3-game series of Pittsburgh Pirates grew after the first half in the number 1 spot in these power rankings. It's certainly a nice way to start the second half of the Milwaukee Brewers. That comes after a strong 13-6 finish for the first half. And with their win, Sunday, the team is now an even 34-34 since Fred Council took over as manager. The whole list of themselves is too deep to climb out of at this point, but they may not be as motivated for a full-blown fire sale as they were a month ago. First baseman Adam Lind, Alfredo Guerrero-Parra, and starter Calo still look like prime candidates to be dealt. The guys like Carlos Gilman, Gene Segura, and Francisco Rodriguez may be sticking around now. The hit of the week is third baseman Alonso Ramirez. 1-6-for-9, 1 double, 1 home run, 3 RBIs, and 2 unscored. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Mike Fiers. He got the win in 7 innings, pitched 3 hits, 1 home run, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Now let's move into our number 21 team. That is the Seattle Mariners. Now they're at a 42 wins. And now let's see how many losses the Seattle Mariners have. Again, they have 42 wins, 50 losses. Previously, they were pretty much in the same position at number 21 in these Major League Baseball power rankings. And last week, they were 1-2. The Seattle Mariners are rapidly running out of time to kick things into gear and make a run at moving up to a lofty preseason expectation. At the beginning of the second half of the series, lost to the New York Yankees, according to Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times. It's unlikely the Mariners make any significant moves on the trade market. Their players will simply have to perform better if they're going to get back into the playoff picture. General manager said the following via Divish. We did the Mark Trumbo thing. We tried to jump the market and make a deal at the time that we thought could bring in what we considered a pretty good power bat for Orlando to augment what we already have. I think anything else will probably be moves within the organization. There's always a possibility something could happen, but you're not really counting on it. And the hitter of the week is third baseman Kyle Seager. He's 4-for-12, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, 4 runs. Pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Masashi Yokuma. He got the win in 5 2/3 innings pitch. On 5 hits, 2 home runs, no walks, and 5 Ks. Moving to our number 22. That is the Atlanta Braves. Right now, they're 43 wins, all in their losses. Previously, they ended at 28. And last week, they went 1-2. The Atlanta Braves don't have much else to trade after shipping out a number of pieces during the offseason, but they are nonetheless expected to be sellers at the deadline. Third baseman Wander Yume, outfielder Cameron Maybin, and reliever Jim Johnson top the list of potential trade chips, according to John Hamlin of CBS Sports. Maybin is an interesting case, as he struggled throughout his career to turn potential and told him to legitimate production, but has hit a solid .285 average, .352 on base percentage, .409 OPS. With 8 home runs and 44 RBIs this season. He signed for $8 million next season with a $9 million option in 2017 and is still just 28 years old. So, if teams believe his turnaround is legitimate, he'd be a relatively cheap investment beyond just a 1-year rental. The hit of the week is outfielder Yuri Perez. He went 2-for-7 with 1 double, 2 RBIs, and 1 run scored. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Shelby Miller. He got the loss but went 6 games, 4 hits. 3 runs, 1 earned run, 4 walks, and 8 Ks. Now let's move into our number 19 team, and that is the Boston Red Sox. Right now they stand at 42 wins and 49 losses last week on the power rankings. They were number 17, they went 0-2 last week. The Boston Red Sox showed some signs of life near the end of the first half with an 8-2 stretch of games. However, they dropped a series to the New York Yankees heading into the All-Star break and lost their first 2 games in a 4-game series with the Los Angeles Angels to start the second half, putting them 8 games back in the AL East heading into the week. While the Red Sox continue to scout Cole Hamels, who makes sense as an addition for 2015 and beyond. Chances are they won't be in the market for any rental type players due to their current standing. Instead, They may have taken the second half as an opportunity to assess their young talent, especially on the pitching side of things, where the future is still very much up in the air, but they have a number of options. Head of the week is third baseman Pablo Sandoval. He won 2 for 6 with 1 double. And the pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Wade Miley. Had no decision in 7-inning pitch, allowing 1 hit, 0 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Our fans are going to break from when we come back. We'll be going through numbers 18 through 1 our power rankings. You know what I mean? So please stay tuned in. Back on Inside MLB, and now it's time to move into our number 18 team, and that is the Cleveland Indians. Right now they stand at a record of 44 wins, and I don't see how many losses these Indians have right now. They're 44 wins again, and about actually exactly 47 losses. Last week they previously number 19. Last week, they were 2-1. The resounding feeling that heading into the All-Star break is that the Cleveland Indians were a team capable of putting together a run for the second half of the start of their starting rotation. A series one of those Cincinnati Reds is a nice start, but they still need to find more consistency offensively if they're going to vault into the role of a contender. They averaged 3.94 runs per game with a minus 19 run differential in the first half. And getting Michael Brantley back to his 2014 level of production would go a long way toward improving their offense as a whole. This week brings matchups with Milwaukee Brewers and Chicago White Sox, as the Indians look to cut into a 5.5-game deficit for the second AL wildcard spot. The hitter of the week is left fielder, Michael Brantley. He went 4-for-11, 2 doubles, 1 home run, 5 RBIs, 1 run scored. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher, Carlos Carrasco. had no decision but went six innings, four hits, allowing one earned run. Giving up one walk and striking out six, and now can move into our number 17 team, and that is the Oakland Athletics. And right now they stand at 43-51, and they're at the same exact position in these power rankings at number 17. Last week they went 2-1. The Oakland Athletics wrapped in the first half with a plus 44 run differential. So it's fair to say they are probably a better team than their record to this point might indicate. The question is, does their front office have enough faith in the roster's potentially making a second half run, but not so at the trade deadline? Scott Kazmir, Tyler Clifford, and Ben Silvers are all free agents at the end of the season, and all three will generate plenty of attention for a significant return on the trade market. Kazmir, in particular, carries a ton of value, as he's gone 5-5 with 2.38 ERA, 1.085 whip, and 101 strikeouts with 192 thirds of work. The hitter of the week is left fielder Jake Smolenski, who has 4% with 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, and 3-1 scored. Pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Scott Kazmir. He had no decision, but he went 8 1/3, allowing 5 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. And the number 16 team on this week's power rankings is the Detroit Tigers. Right now they stand at 1-500 at 45 wins and 46 losses. Last week they were same exact spot, number 16. Last week they went 1-2. The Detroit Tigers have been chasing the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central Division since May 9th, when the Tigers turned in the division lead to them. At this point, the two teams are clearly heading in different directions. A serious loss to the Baltimore Orioles puts the Tigers season high, and that stands back in the division and a 4.5 games out for a wild card spot. Being without Miguel Cabrera hurt, but even if he were healthy, no one's doing anything to solve the team's issues on the mound. Being without Miguel, the Tigers simply don't look like a contender. Unless they can string together some wins, they might have to seriously consider flipping David Price at the deadline. The hitter of the week is shortstop, David Iglesias. 4-5 for 10, 1 double, 1 home run, 3 RBIs, 5 runs. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher, David Price. He had a loss, but 1-7, only 6 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, striking out 12. Number 15 team on this week is the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now they stand at 4-7 wins, 3-6 losses, exactly 500. They moved down a little last week to the 13, and last week they went 1-2. The AL East standings continue to shift, generally on a daily basis. And with the serious loss of the Toronto Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays are now tied for third place at 4.5 games back. Despite hitting just 2.40 average, 3.05 on base percentage, 377 OPS for the team, and averaging 3.65 runs per game during the first half, he has managed to stay afloat on the strength of the starting pitcher, led by breakout all-star Chris Archer. As a small market club, the Rays won't be in the running to make any huge moves on the trade deadline. Instead, their most significant additions could simply come in form of guys getting healthy. Mr. Will Cabrera, the cancer, Steven Souza, finger laceration, and Desmond Jennings, knee surgery, are all currently on the table, with Souza representing the best power threat in the lineup with a team-high 15 home runs on the season. The hitter of the week is second baseman Logan Forsyth. He went 4-9, 1 double, 1 RBI. The pitcher of the week is starting pitcher Chris Archer. He had lost for 1-7, allowing 5 hits, 2 home runs, 1 walk, and strike out 6. Our chance to give a break, but when we come back, it'll be time for speed, 14-1, telling you who it is, and then when we get to the one, I'll do a little bit of explanation, and then I'll go on that. So please stay tuned in, you don't want to miss it. But during the break, please enjoy, and come back to the movie. our Bachelor back on Inside MLB. Now let's move into the number 14 team, and that is the moment that is the 14th spot is the Toronto Blue Jays. And currently they stand at 47-47. Last week they're number 15, so they have improved just by one spot, and they stand 500 again. Now let's move into the number 13 team, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. For now they stand at 46 wins, 45 losses. Last week they're number 14, so again moving up one spot, just like the previous. Who do we have? I think it was the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's move to the 12th spot, and that is the Minnesota Twins. Right now, they stand at 50 wins and 42 losses. Last week, they're number 11, so moving down a little bit. I mean, there's only been three games, so it's not that big of a deal. And the Twins right now just continue on winning. They continue on moving up, but obviously they didn't win, so they moved down. Let's move to the number 11 team, and that is the New York Mets. Right now, they're standing at 48 wins and 44 losses. Our last week in the rankings, they were number 9, so they moved down 2 spots. Hopefully they can rebound next. The San Luis Cardinals, which is a very tough team to beat. And at number 10 is the Washington Nationals. Right now they stand at 49-41. Previously, they were number 8, so moving down 2 spots again, like the previous year's Mets, trying to improve in the second half. And the number 19 is the San Francisco Giants. Right now they stand at 49 wins, 43 losses, previously in the rankings. They were 12, so a big move. 3 spots up, that's huge for them. They continue on winning. They could threaten the Dodgers in the division and also the wild card, hoping to catch up with the Cubs and eventually maybe trying to catch up with the Pirates. And obviously, the Dodgers are right in there, too. And the number 8 spot is the Chicago Cubs. Right now, they're sitting at 49 wins and 41 losses. Last week, they're number 10, so moving up to good for them. They're having a good start in the second half, trying to catch up with the Pirates. And then with the Cardinals, we'll see how it works in the second half of the Chicago Cubs when they need to make a move at the trade deadline. And the number 17 is the New York Yankees. Right now, they stand 50 wins for the losses. Last week, they were 7. So, average start to the second half of the series win over. But let's move into our number 16, and that is the Houston Astros. Right now, they stand 51 wins, 52 losses. Last week, in the power rankings, they were 6. They stayed right where they are. Okay, start to the second half, trying to get better. If you keep winning, you keep moving up. As simple as that. Let's move to the number 5 team, and that is the Los Angeles Angels. Right now, they stand 50 and 40. Last week, they were 5. Again, no key starts, but they can obviously improve. And number 14 is the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NL Central. Right now, 338, 20 games above 500, which is really good. But last week, they're number 1, so they fall down 3 spots. Trying to get back to the number 1 team in the big leagues, that's always the goal. The Pirates need to have a big win tonight against the Royals. If they have a good series, Burnett's on the hill. Hopefully, he can succeed tonight and beat the Royals, because they need the win tonight against Jordan Ventura and the Royals. Hopefully, they can figure it out on the road in Kansas City. The number 3 team is of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right now they stand at producer's telling me right now they stand at 53 and 40. Last week they're number 4. So they're moving up. They're having a nice start to the second half. But they can continue on this momentum and move forward as a team and succeed. That's moving to the 2. And that's the Kansas City Royals. And they might have been able to sneak in the 1 spot, but the Cardinals are there again. And they right now are 50, 55, and 35. And the number 1 team is the St. Louis Cardinals. They stand at 58 and 34 last week, number 2. Our fans, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. As always, have a nice day.